Don't they replace the batteries? Hadn't got anything to do with that. We've been having trouble with that recently, and I'm no technician. I don't have all the answers, but from what our technical people tell us, that the frequencies on these microphones have, the time has come that they've run their length of how long we have exclusive frequency, and people going down the expressway out here with CBs and whatever, I mean, they can click in and just cut out our microphones. And so we've got a situation on our hands, and we're going to have to look at it, which means we'll probably have to take an offering if we can't update something here. Tim, am I getting it right? I probably, is that pretty close? Yeah. And so we've got a frequency problem, and that's better than not having any microphone at all, isn't it? I'm just glad that God's been good to us up to this point. Well, I've just one thing. You take out your prayer card, prayer and care, and if you're a regular around here, you know what to do with it. Just let us know how you're praying and how you're praising. And we'll praise and pray with you and have many opportunities to do that during the week. And also, I want you to get your listening guide or your scripture sheet out and get ready to use that. But there's something else I want to mention to you. And that is that in the atrium, you've seen the big banners out there that talk about Fireproof the movie. And if you'll stand there in front of those little monitors for a minute or two, you'll actually hear the trailers and hear them talking about it. And on the table are both tickets. I don't know if there's any tickets left or not, but there are tickets and flyers that are out there, okay? And I want to tell you about these tickets and flyers. I've already been asked, Pastor Phil, I didn't see any more tickets. Do I have to have a ticket to come that night and bring people with me? No. Nobody has to have a ticket. You say, well, what in the world are the tickets for? They are for you to go invite somebody for promotional purposes so that you can give it to them and they'll remember. They can put it in their purse or pocket or whatever, and they'll remember to come. And so for that same purpose, we have lots of these flyers that are out there. We did a mail out, mailed them out to several, a couple of thousand people, and then we have some left over. And we want you to take these and give them to people and invite them to come. Folks, this is a time for everybody to go to work and do something about what's going on in our families, our homes, and our marriages. And I don't have to spend any time talking this morning about the fact that the devil has leveled his guns and set his aim on destroying the nuclear family in our nation and destroying marriages, and it's working. And this movie is done by a church just outside of Atlanta. It is their major ministry, and the fact that they've done so well on this one has gotten us a lot of attention. And so I want you to go out of your way to invite people. It's a week from Friday night. Bring them with you. They do not have to have a ticket, but take them so that you can give it to them, and it will encourage them to come. And then we have also on that weekend, it's Welcome to Grace weekend, and what we're doing is we're just doing an all-out effort. First of all, that starts a six-week series on home and family and relationships. I'm going to be touching some very, very important issues and trying to help us all as we try to stay true to the Lord and to our families and not leave anyone behind. I'm going to talk about that, and then I got a question for you this morning. How many of you are new? I'm not going to make you give a speech or do anything this morning, but I just want to know, how many of you are new to Grace Church in the last 6 months? Would you just lift your hand up? Look around this room, folks. God just keeps sending us people. Well, praise the Lord. Well, we have something special for you. If you're new to Grace, I don't care whether you've already joined or you haven't joined yet. At 5 o'clock on Sunday afternoon the 15th, 5 o'clock, we want you to come. And we're going to, from 5 o'clock to 6 o'clock, we're going to throw a party for you. It's a reception. You're going to meet a lot of folks. Just chat a little bit, and if there's no other reason to come, Joe Gatto and his restaurant, the Italian restaurant down there on South Union. What is the name of that restaurant? Baratas. They are providing the food, and if there's no other reason for you to be here, that's the reason to come. So I want you to come, and we're going to have a tremendous time together, getting to know one another and just sharing, and just try to help you take your second step here as you are being a part of Grace Church. So that said, I want to get right into what I have to say this morning. Over the last few weeks, we've been talking about freedom. We started off talking about freedom from discontent. And then after that, we talked about freedom from debt, but not so much financial debt, although that's very important. We talked about spiritual debt. Then we got into some really interesting stuff, and we talked about freedom from our past. And boy, the devil, there's nothing he likes to do more than enslave us with our past and make us think that we're still under the condemnation of God. He likes to sit on our shoulder and condemn us for what God has already forgiven. We talked about it. Then I preached a sermon last week, had a wonderful time in the little tiny book of Ruth, talking about freedom from present problems. And there's no problem so big that God can't handle it. And in that little book, looking at Naomi and Ruth and Boaz and Later, Obed, their son being born, we just saw the providence and goodness of God and how that there's nothing happening today that God is not aware of. Now today, I want to talk to you about freedom from future fears. Freedom from future fears. And so I want to start off and ask a question. And here it is. Do you worry? Go ahead and tell the truth. You can be honest. I mean, you just ask yourself that question. Do you worry? That's tantamount to saying, are you human? You know, do you worry? We worry. We have to be honest. Everybody worries. I read about one lady that said that she was worried because she didn't have anything to worry about. The same lady convinced herself that she had an incurable liver condition. She was so worried about it. She was worrying herself sick. In fact, she was getting sick worrying about it. Finally, she went to the doctor, and after the tests were run, the doctor said, "You don't have anything to worry about, ma'am. There's nothing wrong with you." He said, "Anyway, you wouldn't know if anything was wrong with your liver anyway, because there's no pain and there's nothing irregular about it. You wouldn't know it." She said, "See there, I told you I had the symptoms." And I was in trouble. Something to worry about. Let me talk to you about baby boomers for a minute. How many baby boomers do we have here this morning? Just raise your hand and be honest. All right, I got my hand up. Baby boomers. We used to worry about a lot of things. There's what we worried about back then, and there's what we worry about now. And somebody wrote out a list of them, and it's things like this. Baby boomers, way back then, they were worried about getting out to a new hip or cool joint. Now, baby boomers are worried about getting a new hip joint. Back then, baby boomers were trying to find somewhere where they could listen to acid rock. Now, baby boomers are trying to find something to relieve their acid reflux. Baby boomers, they were at that time, they were doing it. They thought it was really cool, and they were desirous to have long hair. Now then, baby boomers are longing for hair. Happens to be my case. Back then, baby boomers, they hoped that they would be able to pass. They were worried about passing the driving test. Today, baby boomers are hoping to pass the vision test. Back then, baby boomers are trying to look like Marlon Brando or Elizabeth Taylor. Now, baby boomers are hoping they don't look like Marlon Brando or Elizabeth Taylor. Finally, baby boomers were worrying about nobody coming to their party. Now then, baby boomers are worrying about nobody coming to their funeral. Just worried. We worry. It's a fact. Several things I want to say about that. Jesus, first of all, says worry is foolish. And I think you've got somewhere to write that down on your sheet. It's foolish. Listen to Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. And no, that's not the passage I told you to turn to, but just listen to it. It's up on the screen. It says, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more of more value than they?" I heard a little ditty. It goes like this. Speaking of how useless worry is, it says, "Worry never climbed a hill, worry never paid a bill, worry never dried a tear, and worry never calmed a fear. Worry never cooked a meal, and worry never fixed a broken wheel." Worry doesn't get much done. Someone else said that worrying is like sitting in a rocking chair and rocking. It'll give you something to do, but it won't get you anywhere. Corrie ten Boom said, "Worry today is like living tomorrow's problems on today's strength." Worry. And so worry is useless. Something else Jesus said to us in Matthew 6:27. He told us, he said that worry is fruitless. Not only is it useless, but it's fruitless. It's foolish. It's fruitless. Listen to Matthew 6:27. "Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature?" I wouldn't be worried about adding a cubit. I'd just like to add a hair to my head if I could just worry about it and it would work. After the first service, there was a guy came up to me. He said, "Oh man, you don't know what you're talking about." And I said, "Really?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "I talk to my wife about it all the time. She worries nonstop." And I said, "Really?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "She thinks it works." I said, "Why do you say that?" She said, "Well, she just worries and worries and worries, and 99% of what she's worried about never happens, so she thinks it works." Worry, it's fruitless. We can't change the past, the present, or the future by worry. It just doesn't work. Jesus said as well, the third thing, write it down. Jesus said that worry is faithless. A little bit more serious. Faithless. It says in verse 30, if God clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? And so it's foolish, fruitless, faithless, useless, no sense in it. Why do we worry? You've got a place to write this down. This is good. So why do we worry? Because we are humans and humans worry. All right, fess up. How many of you have worries? Would you raise your hand up? Just put it up. Look at this sanctified, sanctimonious bunch. Won't lift, raise their hand. Yeah, we worry. We all worry. I want you to stand with me now. We're going to read this Psalm 23, just in case you don't have the right version. Just in case you don't have the version I'm reading. We're going to put it up on the screen. So let's stand together in honor of the Word of God. Here's what I'd like to do this morning. We're going to read this together. You know this one. We're going to read it together and just follow along up on the screen. I'll read it and you read right along with me. Are you ready? Here we go. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Isn't that just a wonderful psalm? Has anybody here, that's your favorite? Anybody just say, that's it, that's your favorite? What a wonderful, wonderful psalm. Starts off, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You say, Pastor, are you going to be talking to us today about freedom from future fears from just that passage of Scripture? Yes, I am. And I want you to just tune in. Let's go to the Lord and ask Him to help us. Our Father, we come into Your presence this morning and we just ask You. I ask You, dear Father, for these, my family of friends and those that are our guests today, and perhaps even those that do not know You, Lord, I pray that I'd be able to describe. Give me the words, Lord, to transmit the information, to communicate the truth of the fact that You are the good shepherd. Lord, I pray that we would learn from this passage of Scripture, bring comfort. Lord, I know there are people that are hurting without jobs, there's sickness and there's uncertainty and there's children that have gone astray and there's husbands and wives that have gone away from each other. And oh, Father, please, through the preaching of Your Word this morning, I pray that You would help, comfort, draw us to You. And as Oliver Green said so many times, Lord, I pray that You would save that soul that's nearest hell that does not know You today. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you be seated? What a passage of Scripture. Follow along with me now as I try to reveal this to you and help you understand how it applies. Verse 2 says, in verse chapter 23, He makes me to lie down in green pastures. The position of the sheep in this verse is very, very significant. It's very enlightening. David described a flock of sheep lying in green pastures. Philip Keller wrote a book on Psalm 23, and he makes some interesting observations about sheep, considering the fact that he had been a lifelong shepherd. He said the strange things about sheep is that because of their makeup, a sheep is almost impossible. It is almost impossible for them to be made to lie down unless several requirements are met. They're very timid. They're very skittish. They're easily afraid. In fact, a jackrabbit can set a whole flock running. They're very easily made to be fearful, and they are just scared of everything. Well, because of their makeup and because of how scared they get, there's some requirements that must be met in order for them to lie down in green pastures or anywhere else for that matter. Their social behavior within the flock will not let them lie down unless they are free from friction from others of their kind. In other words, if they're bumping up against each other, there's not enough room, and they figure like they're taking each other's grass where they are, they just won't lie down. They get agitated. They get irritated. And sheep are like that. They just get irritated. And you know, God calls us His sheep, the sheep of His pasture. In fact, the Bible says that all we like sheep have gone astray. And the Lord says that He is the good shepherd and we are the what? Sheep. Say that with me. He is the good shepherd and we are the sheep. Let me ask you a question. Do you ever get irritated or aggravated with other people? You don't have to answer that because I don't want you to start lying here and trying to act sanctimonious. No, do you ever get, we might even get agitated and irritated with the sheep of God that happen to live in our own household. We just get irritated. Well, sheep won't lay down. They won't rest. They won't put their feet under them and rest in that green pasture. They won't do it unless they've got some of the friction taken care of. Something else that bothers them, if they're tormented by flies or parasites or any kind of bugs or anything like that, they just can't find, or they're just agitated. They won't lay down. And then there's something else. They will not lay down as long as they still have the feeling of hunger. They feel like they're hungry and they hadn't eaten enough. They just won't be still. So there's several things. You know, if they're fearful, they're scared of everything. Anything will set them to running. The second thing is that if they're jostling against others, they can't lay down. And if the bugs and all kinds of things are bothering them. And then as well, if they're not full, if they're not well fed, they just won't calm down. And for sheep to lie down, everything must be just right. No predators to frighten them. No bugs in the air to aggravate them. No empty stomachs. Everything has to be exactly right. And so we look at the sheep lying in green pastures and we see sheep that are undisturbed by the things that would naturally disturb them. And the word lie in this passage is just enormous because it means to couch. It literally means for them to have all four feet under them and be at total rest. They're just, the only thing they're moving is just their head. They're reaching to eat and they're looking at the master. You know, they're looking at the shepherd, checking over to see where he is, and then they just keep eating. And that's what they do. And so they couch. It speaks of the legs folded under them. So the picture here is of a sheep lying there with her legs folded, nestled in green grass of the pasture, seemingly without a care in the world. These sheep are a picture of a worry-free life, or at least having their needs totally, totally met. Sounds good. But Pastor, you're talking about sheep. We're not talking about sheep today. I'm a person. Well, the Bible says that we are sheep of His pasture. In another place it says that we are like His little flock. Write these things down this morning as I want to talk about how to be free from fear. We can be free from fear if we understand three things from this passage of Scripture. And here's what they are. The first thing is, and I just want to make this statement, this is the sermon in a nutshell. If you don't remember anything else when you go away from here today, then this statement is everything. All the other points and everything else I say expands upon this one thing. So make sure you get it. Here it is. Number one, sheep feel safe when they know the shepherd is present. Write that down. Sheep feel safe when they know the shepherd is present. Now, there are things in life that worry us. There are things that distress us, disturb us, discomfort us, and dishearten us, and dismay us. There are people who irritate us. Life is not without the things that both aggravate and agitate. Jesus called these things the cares of this life. In the story of the sower, the third category of people were the people that the Word of God was choked out because of the cares. The better translation is because of the worries of this life. Didn't say they didn't receive the Word. Didn't say they weren't at first happy about the Word of God. It just says that the Word of God was choked out, was not profitable. They did not continue because the cares, the worries of this life. I've been in the ministry long enough to tell you that many people come, they give God a hearing, they hear something about salvation and missing hell and going to heaven, and they get all excited. And they'll put a step forward. Oh, yeah, I'm going to come here. I want to hear this. Sound like something I want. But pretty soon, the issues of life, the cares of life, the problems of life, the pressures of life, the tensions of life, they don't know what to do with them. They're not ready to handle them. And so it takes their heart away from hearing, believing, and following the Lord Jesus. And so we worry about things. And it's true. We worry about how we're going to make ends meet. We worry about the house payment and the car payment that might be coming due. We worry about how to pay the electric bill. And we worry about our job. We worry about how we perform. We worry about, is our job going to hold out? We worry about, once we've lost the job, how we're going to get another job. And there are people here today that are in this category. We worry about the children. We worry about the children's behavior. We worry about their future. We worry about money for college. We worry about our health. We worry about health insurance. And we worry more when we don't have health insurance. We worry about how we're going to do this and how we're going to do that. And so we worry. And the big list of things that cause us to worry is unending. Please understand that this picture of the sheep lying in green pastures is not one that suggests that all the things that could cause them to worry have been eliminated or removed. No, not at all. The wild dogs and the cougars and the bears are still out there somewhere. These dangers still exist. The bugs and the flies that worry them have not been put on the endangered species list. These distressing little creatures still exist. However, in the scene, the sheep are not worried about these things. They are of no concern to them at the present. And the reason they're not concerned about the cougars, and they're not concerned about the bears, and they're not... You see, we get it in our mind that we'll be happy when there are no problems. We will be blessed when there are no difficulties. Everything's going to... And God is really doing His job when He eliminates any possibility of difficulty in our life. But I just want to give you just a little something this morning. There's not one single verse of Scripture, not one single passage that promises you a trouble-free life. There is none. The Bible does not promise anyone a trouble-free life. But here's what it says from one end to the other. I will never leave you or forsake you. I will be present. And the safety of a believer is completely rooted in the idea not that all of his problems are gone or that there's no dangers out there. That's not our safety. Our safety is rooted in the fact that Jesus is present. He is here. You see, it's important for these sheep because these sheep were there and they were all folded up and buckled over and sitting down in green pastures and they're eating. And the only thing they did, the only care they had, they didn't look up to see what the dangers were. They looked up to see if the master, the shepherd, was still there. They just kept looking at the shepherd. Just look at the shepherd. As long as the shepherd is seated, as long as the shepherd is there, as long as he is present, then whatever those dangers are, those problems are, those difficulties are, everything is going to be okay. No, the distresses, the problems, the cougars, the dogs, the bears, the bugs, they were still there. The sheep were not safe because all the problems and dangers and shortages were eliminated. They were safe and resting because the shepherd was present with them. Listen to Psalms chapter 46 and verse 1. God is our refuge and God is our strength. Listen to these words. A very present help in trouble. He is present. I'm here to announce to you that the most difficult moment of your life, when you didn't see Him, you couldn't feel Him, it didn't seem like He was there, He is there. He never leaves us. He never, ever forsakes us. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. He said, don't even worry. If the mountains melt and they're thrown over into the midst of the sea, just keep your eye on the shepherd. Just keep looking at the shepherd. Your safety, your feeling of safety and security is not going to come in this life by the elimination of problems. It's going to come by the presence of the shepherd, the good shepherd, Jesus Christ. We have to look to Him. That passage of Scripture says, don't fear even though the earth be removed. Folks, I've got something to say to you this morning. Don't worry about global warming and geological shifts and all the things that are going on. How many of you have heard about Mount Redoubt? That's going on. Redoubt up there in Alaska. Anybody heard about that? Anybody read the news? I must be the only one worries enough to read the news. But anyway, I'm preaching to a crowd that doesn't need it. No, I'm just kidding. But Mount Redoubt. You know what Mount Redoubt is? Mount Redoubt's a volcano up there about 100 miles away from Anchorage, Alaska. And that thing is just, I mean, it is sending up warning signals like an Indian campfire. Gonna blow, gonna blow, gonna blow. I mean, it's just shooting up and shooting up. And all the geologists are... You know, they're just having a fit. They're having a wonderful time as they run up, the seismologists, geologists, they're all running up there to see what's going on, and they're studying this thing. And when it does blow, can I just give you just a little relaxation? Why you should relax about the sun, the moon, the stars, the planets, and the global problems and global warming? Sure has felt like it in January, hasn't it? here's what I want to say to you. In the first 5 minutes that volcano blows, if it's anything like Mount Hood or Mount St. Helens, in the first 5 minutes that it blows, the amount of carbon dioxide, the amount of poisons and gases that are going to be pumped into the atmosphere in 5 minutes are going to be more than all of what mankind himself does in the next decade. Mount St. Helens did more to change the climate in the world than all man had done in the previous 50 years. Sorry, Al. I just had to. God is our refuge. God is our strength. Listen to Psalm 121, verse 3. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber or sleep. You know what I'd like you to do? I'd like you to just remember you can lay down and take a nap. You can go to bed at night and you can rest through the night. And there is no reason for you to stay up late and get up early. The Bible says that in Psalm 127. No sense in it. No sense getting up and worrying about it and fretting over it and just crying about everything. And, oh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? There's no sense in doing that because you could just lay down and the Bible says in Psalms your sleep will be sweet. Why? Because while you're sleeping, our God neither slumbers nor sleep. He is always on the job. He is always watching. He is always doing what He's supposed to do. And I want to tell you that your feeling of safety and security depends 100% on the presence of the shepherd, not just how well you're taking care of yourself. There's no room for irresponsibility in our behavior, but when it comes to controlling the global shifts of life, only God is in charge. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 5 says, "For He Himself said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" First thing I want you to get this morning, and the biggest thing I want to say is that your feeling of security and safety in this world, your answer to worry is not what you can do about it, but it's to know that the shepherd is always present. He's always here. He's here. He's there. He's everywhere. In fact, He's everywhere all the time because that is His nature. He's omnipresent and He knows. The second thing I want you to write down very quickly is sheep feel safe when they know the shepherd is providing. Now see, that flows out of the first one because we like the provision, but He's only going to provide if He is completely and intimately acquainted with what's going on in our life. And so He's present in our life to know what's going on so that then He can turn around and provide. And what does He provide? Well, obviously, the needs of life. But how about the protection of life? His protection, His provision. Sheep feel safe when they know the shepherd is providing. Look at verse 2 and let's read it carefully. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His namesake. In David's time, there were not rolling hills, rolling fields of green pastures and grassy prairies stretching as far as the eye could see. Now, Miss Bonnie and myself, we like to watch some of these old English movies, these Jane Austens and Emily Bronte and all these women that wrote. And I'm quite an authority on those right now. I've seen almost all of them. I've watched them time and again. And I could even act out some of the parts, I think. I know I could. In Matthew Cuthbert's case. What's the name of that movie there where he falls down? And Green Acres. That's not it. Green Gables. See there? I'm sorry. You probably are saying you'd be better in Green Acres than you would Green Gables. Because you're a hick. Guilty. But you know what? One of the things I love about it, we always comment to each other, you know. You look at those movies, and they're so cool because they always show that English countryside. You know, it's all trimmed and prim and proper, and it's always raining, and the roads are muddy, and those little chariots and carriages, and they're going along the roads, you know, and it's just lush green just as far as you can see. Well, it wouldn't be hard to find green pastures in England. But this passage of Scripture right here is not talking about that. In David's time, there were not rolling fields of green pastures or grassy prairies stretching as far as the eye could see. It depended upon the skill and knowledge of the shepherd. That was the thing that mattered most. Because in that arid, desert-like area, their shepherd had to know how to lead them through the dry and rocky areas until, because of his knowledge, and because of what he knew, and because of his experience, he was able to take these sheep and to take them. He knew where the green pastures were. He knew how to make them lie down. He knew how to solve their problems. These sheep didn't, listen, sheep are directionless. Sheep are defenseless. I could go on with that all day long on what's wrong with sheep, but I don't want to make you feel bad. People say, oh, I just got to go the direction I think I ought to go. Well, the Bible says there's a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. It's so simple. Do your thing and it'll cost you. Let God lead you and He'll help you. Listen. Sheep feel safe when they know the shepherd is guiding and providing, when he's leading and he's feeding. The skill and knowledge of the shepherd, and David knew he was skillful. He'd been a shepherd for years, and he would lead those little bands of sheep from place to place, and he would make them lie down in green pastures. How was he able to do that? He knew where the green pastures were. And all of your life, those that know the Lord Jesus, he's been leading and feeding, guiding and providing. And sometimes we don't even stop to say thanks until times get tough. He knows where to go, how to lead them. He knows to find that shady spot where the tender shoots of grass spring up. The sheep lie there content and worry-free. Not because as far as the eye can see there's plenty to eat. No, they're in a parched and a barren land. But the sheep are affected by these conditions. Are they? Are they affected by the dearth of greenery around them? No, they are absolutely not, because their eyes are not on further green pastures. Their eyes are continually on the shepherd. You say, well, what am I supposed to do as a believer? As a believer, you get up each morning. Well, you know, during the day, when the crisis comes, when the situation comes, you don't know which way to go. You just look to the shepherd. You see, when those sheep were there, it didn't say they were unattentive. They were eating, they were resting, they were laying down, their feet were folded under them, they were contented, they were happy, but their eyes were always open and always looking at the shepherd. If that shepherd gets up out of the doorway and begins to move, those sheep are getting on their feet, because the most dangerous place on planet Earth for anybody to stay is in some green pasture where the master has got up and moved on. Because when the master moves on, the shepherd moves on, those who stay in that green pasture are no longer experiencing his presence. No longer do they have his protection, and there are wolves. Dangers. Many of you are young people. Many of you are seeking the Lord's will. Some of you are seeking to follow the Lord into some ministry and to follow him into preaching or teaching or being a missionary. And you wrestle with the green, green grass of home. You wrestle with creature comforts and people comforts, and you wrestle with all kinds of thinking. If I pick up from here and go somewhere, what will my life be like? And maybe you're not looking to be a preacher, a teacher, a missionary, a pastor, or any of those things, or an evangelist. And maybe you're just so worried. But you know that God is moving you. Let me tell you, the worst thing you could possibly do is to hold on to the green, green grass of home when the shepherd's getting up and moving somewhere else. Because your green grass is protected and safe. It provides for you because the shepherd is there. The shepherd's there. He's providing. And so the sheep lie there content and worry-free, but their eye is always on the shepherd. Let me just say something to you this morning. Are you fixated on Jesus? Are you looking to Him as the author and finisher of your faith? Are you fixed, and are you holding on to Jesus? And you're like, well, how do I do that, Pastor? Well, first of all, you need to get up in the morning and start it with Him. Get up and take another look at Jesus. Take another few minutes to dwell deep with Him, and to just read a few minutes of the Word with Him and pray and talk to Him. Take a look at Jesus in the morning. It'll remind you that He'll be with you all day long. And when troubles come and difficulties, you need to get in this habit. When these difficulties come, and when the guy gives you the pink slip, and when you don't know about your health, then just remember when the bad news comes. Jesus is here. He's here. He's here. He's here. He's here. Let me say something to you this morning. He's here in this church. He's here in our congregation. He is here in your life. If you know Him as Lord and Savior, He is here, present in your soul. He's here. He's providing. The shepherd brought them to the green pastures, and there they lie, undisturbed, with the conditions around them. A worry-free life does not mean that we have nothing to worry about. It does not mean that all things that can cause worry have been eliminated and that the provisions for life are stacked up in plain view somewhere, and a lot of folks would like that. Oh, I would just trust God if I could just put all the things of life in the back room over here and stack them up so that I could see my way from here to eternity, so that I could see every path that I take, every pitfall, so that I could just look down the road of life and see the corners and the curves and see the potholes and problems. If I could just see all the way, and if I could look into the storeroom of my life and see all of the provisions, that would not be walking by faith. That would be walking by what? God doesn't work like that. Because if you could see it all to the end of your life, then you would not have any need for faith. That is exactly why the Bible says so clearly that it's so difficult for a rich man to come into the kingdom of heaven, because he's looking to see how his provisions have cared for him. There's so much we could go through that would cause us to worry, but He is providing. In His storehouse, there is no shortage. God doesn't need a bailout. The lack of confidence in God will make you hoard things on earth. It'll make you stingy with your fellow man. It'll make you a tightwad. The lack of confidence on earth will make you withhold things from others, and ultimately it will make you not tithe. You won't give to God because you're convinced that it's all up to you. Matthew 6:31 says, "Do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things, the Gentiles or the pagans seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things.'" How about this verse, 1 Peter 5:7? "Cast all your care on Him, because He cares for you." Just cast your care on Him. Point to Jesus. Look at Jesus. Wait on Jesus. You say, am I supposed to be irresponsible in life and just sit back and let go and let God? No, you're supposed to get up and try to find a job. You're supposed to get up. Listen, folks, there's certain things about life that you don't have to wait on God to do. If your lawn needs mowing, don't ask God to do it. If your car needs washing, don't ask God to do it. You see what I'm saying? I mean, don't be lazy about it. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when the uncontrollable comes into your life, it's not time for you to fall apart. It's a time for you to come apart and go to Jesus. Please rest in Jesus, our shepherd. I know it's easy to see the dangers and hear the woes that might come. But Jesus said to come to Him and He will give us rest. My question is, do you go? Do you speak to Him about all of your fears? Finally, and this is key. Here's the pivotal point. This is the consequential event. This is the grand if. Everything that I've said this morning hinges on this one little statement that I'm going to make. Number three, write it down. The sheep feel safe when they, make sure you get it. Sheep feel safe when they know the shepherd. What? Well, you see, we've been talking about they know the shepherd is present. They know the shepherd is guiding. They know the shepherd is providing. They know the shepherd is protecting. I mean, sheep feel safe when they know the shepherd's doing this, that, and the other. But wait a minute. Look at verse 1. The Lord is, what's the next word? The Lord is my shepherd. This is an extremely personal thing. Is He your shepherd? I'm talking to a room full of people that are affiliated, associated, you've come alongside of, you have enjoyed the fellowship of. You know about Christianity, you know about the language of Christianity, you know about the history of Christianity, but you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, Master and King. You don't know Him as the good shepherd. You don't know Him. And all of these things are contingent upon whether you know Him or not. A little boy got it wrong. He said, "The Lord is my shepherd, and that's all I want." He had it right, because it's all he needed. and he was his shepherd. We miss things in the Bible if we don't read and meditate. Matthew 6:32, I read it a while ago, but I bet you didn't catch it. It says at the end of the verse there, it says, "For your heavenly Father knows you have need of all these things." Whose heavenly Father? Your heavenly Father. Is He not the Father of all? Didn't He create all men and all women? Is He not the Father of all? He's the Creator and God. He is the ruler and sovereign of all creation. But He is a Father of all of those that believe. He's a Father to those that believe. He says, "Your heavenly Father knows you have need." Listen to John 10:14. "I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own." Oh, this is so awesome. You see, when we're part of His fold, He's the good shepherd. He knows who we are, and we know who He is. Listen to this. Jesus is the good shepherd. The next verse says He laid down His life for the sheep. Earlier in the passage, it says that He was the door. He was the gate. He was the entrance to the sheepfold. Bonnie and I had the privilege of living in Peru, and we were there, and we've done many treks through the high mountain areas and the areas where they keep goats and sheep, especially sheep. And we would walk through those areas, and time and again we would see corrals that had been built out of heavy stone. But I never saw in all the time that I was in the mountains of Peru and in those areas where the sheep herders were, I never saw a sheep corral with an actual door, a gate. There never was one. It wasn't until one time where we were close to a corral at nighttime that I saw what was really going on and how it really worked. A shepherd would get all of his own sheep. They knew him. He knew them. He would call them by name. They knew his voice. They would follow him. And they would go into the corral. And as nightfall set, that shepherd with his rod or his staff, with his bag and with whatever defensive tools he had, he would put them into that corral with the feed and the green grass on the inside. And then that shepherd would sit down, legs across the door, his staff leaning on the other side, lean his head up and rest through the night. And he was the door. No sheep on the outside that he did not know could get in, and every sheep that belonged to him went in. He was the door. I'm here to tell you that our Heavenly Father is the good shepherd. He is the gate. He is the door. And He gives us privilege to come in and out into His presence. And He loves us. Listen to John 10:27. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Isn't that wonderful? "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Do you hear that first part of the verse? "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." I know them, they know me, they follow me. Let me say to you this morning that there's a lot of people acquainted with Christianity. You know something about churchianity. You may have made some emotional decision at some time in your life. But listen to me this morning. The Bible says, "My sheep," Jesus speaking, "they hear my voice. I know them." And what do? They follow me. Are you a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ? Does His Word and His will mean anything to you? Is there any kind of Holy Spirit conviction or leading in your life? Do you have that holy don't or that holy do in your life telling you, leading you, guiding you, showing you, helping you? Are you following Jesus? I didn't ask if you were perfect. I didn't ask if you'd accomplished it all. Listen, Paul the Apostle said, "I have not yet attained." He wasn't perfect. Nobody's perfect. But I have a question for you. Are you a follower of Jesus Christ? You see, God is present, God is providing, and He is doing it for His sheep. This isn't on your screen, on your paper there, but it's up on the screen. And just listen, our freedom from fear depends not on the absence of problems or needs in our lives, but on the presence of the shepherd. My dear family of friends, are you counting on His presence? dear friend here this morning, you've never said yes to Jesus. You've never called on Him to be your Lord and Savior. You've never said, I am a sinner. I come as a sinner into your presence. I recognize my sin. Forgive me. Come into my heart. I believe in you. I receive you. Please receive me. If you've never done that, He's not your shepherd. He's not your shepherd. The common grace of God is that He has made the rain fall on the good and the bad. He has put up with our times of ignorance, the Bible says. He has allowed us the privilege of living, abiding on this privileged planet that He has designed. But there's a special relationship between the shepherd and his sheep. Philip, why don't you come on up? Here's this little song. Have you ever heard this little song? Here it is. You might know it. Christ is all I need. Christ is all I need. All I need. Christ is all I need. Christ is all I need. All I need. You get into the root of Christianity when you get to this song. He was crucified. For me He died on Calvary. That He loved me so, this is why I know. Christ is all I need. Stand your feet with me. The Bible says the Lord is my shepherd. Sing that with me. I know you. It's just Christ is all I need. You can sing it with me. Sing it out now.
Christ is all I need. Christ is all I need. All I need. Christ is all I need. Christ is all I need. He was crucified. For me He died on Calvary. That He loved me so, this is why I know. Christ is all I need.
With your head bowed and your eyes closed, just for a second, Philip, please.